This is the Action Movie Guys Podcast, bringing you action movie reviews from across the decades, plus box office numbers and insight like never before. And now, your hosts of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, Alex and Nate.
Welcome everyone to a brand new episode of the Action Movie Guys Podcast. This is episode 51, Lethal Weapon 4, the final one in the entire franchise. I'm your host, Alex Figueroa, and my co-host is
Nate from Netflix Reviews.
If you're watching this on YouTube, please hit that like button, hit those notification bells, so every time we go live or new videos drop, you guys will be notified. If you're new to the channel and you like what you watch, please hit that subscribe button and support the channel. Nate, this has been we've been a long road with the Lethal Weapons.
Yes.
And I know you've been watching these from two to four so far is your first time, right?
Correct. Yeah. First time watch, everything after. And honestly, Lethal Weapon 1, that was only maybe my second time watching it, but I hadn't seen it. So yeah, all first time watches for me. So this was fun. It took a long time to get through it, but not really. It just took a long time for us to review because I watched them all. It's just been a while now since I watched this one. So, but looking forward to talking about it.
Yeah. So with that said, we're going to be going into our agenda. And it's pretty much, if you guys want to score with us on the Action Movie Guys podcast, we have some categories for you guys. And they are lead character, main villain, action scenes, storyline, overall, total points. Let us know in the comments below on YouTube what you thought of Lethal Weapon 4, or give us your scores on the movie. We rate it on a 5 scale on each category. With that said, we're going to get right into box office numbers, Rotten Tomato scores, and then right into our actual movie review. So with that said, let's start off with some box office numbers, Nate.
Okay, so I don't remember what the other ones made, but I know they were a lot of money. So I'm going to say, I'm not cheating, but I'm going to use my powers of deduction here. Sherlock, knowing that this was the least critical, with that in my back pocket, I'm going to say this might have been the least successful. So this feels like a movie that made $127 million. $127 million domestic.
All right, so here we have it. Let's see if Nate is right on this. These are the box office numbers for Lethal Weapon 4 from 1998. And they are domestic. You were very close. Domestic was $130,444,603 on an international of $155 million with a worldwide total of $285,444,603 on a budget of $140 million. Successful movie.
It is a success.
Yeah.
I think the other ones were more as far as budget.
Part three was the highest
box office
one.
Ratio. Yeah. But that's still, almost $300 million, it did well.
Yeah, plus the DVD sales.
I was pretty close.
You were off by $3 million.
Wow. Remember that one time when I was got it right on when we did Black Panther? I got it exactly right. That's never going to happen again. But I was pretty close. I'm pretty proud. Now, moving on to Rotten Tomato scores. So, I don't know how we're going to guess this because, truth be told, I already told you these scores. But I think we'll just give them the box office score. Or the Rotten
Tomato just go
scores,
right into it. Yeah,
because you already know them.
Yeah.
So, and this one is the least, it has the lowest critical score on Rotten Tomatoes, 53% critic score, 64% from the audience. So since you're not guessing, Alex, what do you think about those numbers?
It's very interesting. And I really want to know our takes on it. Does it match the critics and the audience when we start talking about the reviews? Because honestly, each movie when me and you were rating them, we're kind of like the critic and the audience, because I was a little higher where yours was a little lower. So I feel like it was like one of those it's kind of balancing out here. And I want to know how it's going to balance out with this final movie and see how it goes from there. And of course, don't care about those numbers here on Levels of Geeks, here in the Action Movie Guys podcast. Yeah, because you guys are here for us and what you guys think about what we say about this movie. So with that said, on Monday, next Monday, we are going to be ranking the Lethal Weapons live on the show Monday night on Levels of Geeks Live at 9 p.m. Eastern on Monday. So with that said, let's get right into it with lead character Danny Glover, Mel Gibson, Murtaugh, Riggs. Nate, take it away.
All right, so I'm sticking with my guns here. I cannot be moved. I cannot be swayed. I gave them a 4, which out of the 4 movies, I gave them a 4 3 times. Lethal Weapon 2, I gave them a 4.5. I like that one I like their chemistry in that one the most. And here was good. You know what, though? And this was only about 6 years after Lethal Weapon 3. But according to Mel Gibson, it seemed like it was a lot more than 6 years. He aged a lot in the 6 years between Lethal Weapon 3 and Lethal Weapon 4. And I don't mean in a bad way. Like, he just looks more grizzled. He looks more mature than... He looked pretty much the same in those first three movies.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, he looks quite a bit older. Danny Glover, he aged really well. He looks older, but he looked kind of old the whole time anyway. So, you know what? I don't know. I like them. I think they still have that chemistry, even coming back after a six-year gap from the last movie. But it just was a little... I don't know what it was. It was just a little... It was good. It was right on par. I don't want to say anything else. Like, it just never elevated, like... I thought when we started the series that I would, you know, I gave him a 4 on the first one, and I was like, okay, 4.5 for 2. I was like, uh-oh, they're going to get 5 and 5. And then it kind of, like, leveled down for me. So, I don't know. I keep them at a 4, though. They're great. They have great chemistry. They're a great duo. I enjoy watching them. 4 out of 5.
Yeah, you know what? I'm not changing my number. I went with a 5, and I'm sticking with a 5. I think you hit it on the head. It's been years since they were together on screen. And it was still the same. It was like it was like they never lost touch of their they knew their characters. I mean, there's nothing you can say. They know their characters, and they play them older, which they are older actors too. So it's like they're playing them and playing each other. So with that said, I love the chemistry. I am a big fan of this franchise, and I still think that this is one of the best, hands down, buddy cop movies out there. All right, there's nothing I can find that could take away Lethal Weapon from that top spot. I mean, out of 4 movies, they were so good in all 4 movies. And I understand your gripes. I understand, because we still haven't finished the review, but I understand your 1, 2, and 3 gripes. But even with that, like, when we see franchises like Die Hard and Terminator, they start to go like in a roller coaster with the characters, you know?
Yeah.
Because they try to change some aspect to them or something. Lethal Weapon... wherever they went with them, they still, to me, felt like they were the same. Like, they never changed their acting, whether they went goofy on certain movies, but you knew they were going to go goofy because they were goofy in the first movie. They just were a little bit serious.
You know what? I will agree that they were remarkably consistent.
Yeah.
If you want to even throw in Joe Pesci.
Yeah.
The three of them together were remarkably consistent across all three. Or the three that they were in all together, all 4 for the other 2 leads, you know?
Yeah.
I wouldn't argue with you there.
Absolutely. Yeah. So with that said, look, I gave him a 5. Nate gave him a 4. Let's get right into main villain. Now, main villain here, this is a big one, because this is the first time you get a big star. At the time, a Jet Li comes into the cast of Lethal Weapon. And honestly, he fit the movie. I thought he was he's the best villain that they had in the entire franchise. I know Nate, that was biggest Nate's complaint in the entire franchise, which I agree with him. They did not have a one nemesis that they could, you know, fight off and stuff. Now for me, Jet Li worked. You had a martial artist. It's a, you know, it has that's the storyline they went with. But in terms of villain, you know what? Everyone see him as a good guy. We never seen him as a villain in much movies at that time, right? In 98, you didn't see Jet Li as a villain. You never seen him as a villain.
No. He was only in Asian films. And then when he started, this is like kind of an intro to Hollywood. And he was a bad guy. Look at that.
Yeah. So look, for me, I thought it worked well. I gave Jet Li a 5, man. That scene with him and Riggs in the house, when he takes apart the gun, I was like, oh, hell yeah. I was in the theater going crazy. Like, this is nuts. So... With that, I mean, I liked it. I think he fit role. I think he was perfect with the entire cast of Lethal Weapon. And he wasn't corny, and he wasn't over the top acting like other actors when we saw in this in this entire franchise. Nate.
Yeah. Okay. So I was torn on this one. I'll be honest, because I like Jet Li. I do. And in this franchise, you know, I'm glad you said it, because this has been, I think they have a weak villains in this franchise. Period.
Yeah.
This one is going to be my highest score, but it's still not a super high score. But I gave him a 3.5. I agree with you extremely on the physical stuff, right? He's the first villain and they actually have to fight or can fight back and can... He's a threat. You know what I mean? Like, he's a threat to them. It's always... all the other ones, it's like an old guy or like a guy who has 1,000 henchmen who, you know, doesn't really want to do anything.
Yeah.
Or who has like a master plan. Jet Li's not a master plan like villain, you know? So he's great in the action scenes, which made me, you know, like I wanted to give him higher. The only problem is like he doesn't speak, he doesn't really talk a lot. You know what I mean? Is he a super interesting character? No, not to me, but he's formidable as an action villain. So I fell somewhere in the middle. I gave him a 3.5. I thought he was good. I thought he was the best in this franchise. I don't remember his name, you know, to be honest. So, but he was good. He was good.
Yeah, I don't even think they named him much in the movie. I don't think they did.
I don't remember his name because I don't even know if he had one.
Yeah, I don't even think they gave him a name because I remember that when they were investigating him, they were like, who was the Chinese guy that killed the dude with the beads? They kept saying the dude with the beads.
Starring as Chinese guy.
Yeah, with the beads. I always remember him with the beads because he kept messing with the beads.
His name is Hua Sing Ku. I don't remember that.
I don't remember that in the movie.
Asian sounding name. So But he was good. He was good. And he was young. He was still in his prime. Yeah. Fast. Awesome.
All right. So there you have it, guys. Look, I gave him a 5. Nate gave him a 3.5. Let's get to action scenes because this had a lot of action scenes in the movie.
This one did. And I love the. So in these, especially the last two, three, and four. They almost have like a cold open type scene where they have this scene that really, it doesn't have anything to do with, you know, with like the storyline, but it's just there. This one is the best one, in my opinion. It was hilarious. Yeah. This dude is just for no reason on earth, is walking around like downtown in LA with a flamethrower and a machine gun and like super body armor.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like, why? I don't know, but the visual of it was hilarious. Their plan, you know, like they like go out there and run it and do the chicken dance and all that. Get naked and then he'll be distracted. And he does it. It was funny. It was my favorite one.
He said, Mark, come on, Riggs. Yeah.
And then afterward, he's like, hey, how did you like my chicken dance? And Riggs is like, I just made you do that because you didn't really have to. He gets all mad. So it was my favorite one. The action scenes in this one is the most, and I mean, granted, it's the newest movie, but it felt, like you said earlier, more like modern action films, the way it was shot, the way it was staged.
Yeah.
It felt less 80s and more 90s, mm-hmm. which I'm a fan of 90s action films. So I really like the action. It's still none of these movies. It is a buddy cop movie. So it's more action comedy mix. So none of the action ever like elevates to like top tier, in my opinion. But it's very good. I gave it a 4.
Okay. Yeah. So look, for me, when it comes to action, I agree with you. This one, after rewatching this, I was very surprised how the action was still good after all these years. Like you could sit back and you could appreciate this movie's action. Just like when you sit back and you can see Die Hard 1, you know what I mean? Yeah. For what it was at that time in the 80s or mm-hmm. yeah, right. It came out in the 80s.
Yeah, 80s.
I hope I was right. Yeah. So with this one, you're absolutely right. This felt like a 90s, like a Speed Part 2 type movie. Because like even when they're doing the car chase scene in the highway, felt very freaking 90s. You know what I mean? Like And it was long. Then you had like the fights between, you know, Jet Li and Riggs and Murtaugh at the end. And you thought Riggs was going to die underwater. So I thought it was great. I thought the action scenes were good. I thought they played with them being old. Because that was like the big mm-hmm. knock that they can't do it no more. When Riggs is trying to run and he can't run. Like, and he did all that stuff. Yeah. So with that, I gave it a 4.5. I don't think it was a perfect action movie. But I think it's the highest one I think so far I gave it in the action out of all of them. So, but still, it's not a knock. You're going to enjoy the action in this movie. It has really good action. Even when Riggs go on the boat and he finds them on the slaves under the boat. The refugees, he finds them and all that. Like that was a really good sequence there. There's a lot of good sequences in this movie than prior movies.
Really good set pieces.
Yeah.
You know, like really well constructed and very well shot. You know, Richard Donner, you know,
he's very good.
He shot it well. Yeah. It looked good.
Even with Rene Russo pregnant, she had a great fighting scenes with Jet Li.
She didn't have the karate from Part 3, but she still was pretty good.
Yeah, and that's the thing that
she's like throwing karate kicks.
And that's what I think I liked about that scene because she went toe to toe. Well, she didn't go toe to toe, but she attacked Jet Li, and he knew she was pregnant, so he just did that one leg over his head. I was like, damn, this dude is flexible. Like he just went whack. I was like, oh, this dude's crazy. But anyway, that was a 4.5 for me, Nate. That's a 4. Let's get right into storyline.
it was all right. I don't know what happened here.
Okay.
But for some reason, like, the more these movies go on, they get so convoluted. Like, these storylines are so convoluted, but for no reason. Like, there's, and I said this in the last, in Lethal Weapon 3, I think this one was better, the storyline. But I just feel like there's way too much going on all the time.
Yeah.
All the time. They literally, every scene, like, if you watch the first 40, 45 minutes of this movie, every scene introduces, like, some new plot point. Every single one. It's like, here's a new plot point, and here's another one, and here's another one. And to the point where there's, like, so much going on that I'm just like, I don't know what is the main, I don't know what I'm supposed to be paying attention to the most. You know what I mean? You got, like, the Chinese slave ships and stuff that they're bringing into America. But then you also got all these, there's, like, so many subplots. There's, like, the daughter, and she has, like, this mystery person that she's, like, she's getting married to, or she's pregnant with, or whatever. And then you know who it is as the audience, but then you're waiting for Danny Glover to find out who it is. And then there's Joe Pesci, and then he shows up, and then he got, and it's just like, it's so much going on. It's entertaining. I'll say that. It's entertaining, but for me, it becomes like almost too much. I gave it a 3. I think they got worse, like, over time as far as storyline, in my opinion, but it's not a bad story. It's just, it's too much. It's just way too much going on. Like, they could have cut out, and this is the longest one. We talked about that before.
Yeah.
They could have cut out 15 minutes at least of stuff here. It's just a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I do agree with you on that. Even rewatching it, I was like, holy crap, I never remember this movie having like four plots into a movie. But I do agree with you. The only thing I did enjoy was the main plot of the movie. Like, that's when I was hooked on, like, with the Jet Li. Yes. Jipping the Chinese police guy that was like, try to exchange him. I love Mel Gibson. He was like, he's duping you, and he takes the money, and he's like, do you know what I'm talking about? He's throwing the money. He's like, this is fake counterfeit. You can wipe your ass with this. Like, I thought that was funny. Yeah. But
that was good.
Yeah, like, I thought the main plot was really good. I did not like the addition of Chris Rock into the movie. To me, it just felt like a weird angle they went with this. I thought that was dumb because his name was Butters, right? Detective Butters?
So I was saying, I like the jokes how they never get his name right. They call him Biscuits and all that. It's kind of funny. Yeah. It's kind of funny, but it's just for comedy. But it doesn't always, you know, it's one of those jokes that's like, you could use it once or twice. But after that amount of times, like, it doesn't work 50 times. You know what I mean?
Right. And that's the thing. Like, for me, I don't think adding Chris Rock into that cast worked for me. I think they should have just continued it the way they had it. I was okay with it, unless he was just going to show up towards the end and then they tell him. But
yeah.
With that said, I agree with you. I gave the storyline a 3. I was not too crazy. This is my least favorite storyline, but I thought it was very, the main plot of the movie was very strong, but not the other side plots did not work for me.
I agree. If it was more focused, it would have been way better. And Chris Rock was a weird casting, and I don't dislike him.
Yeah.
But they should have got a guy who was more cop-like, first of all, maybe a little bit better looking, not that he's an ugly person, but like, you're supposed to be like, this is like a guy who the daughter, like, you know, falls in love with and all this kind of stuff. And he's like, it's Chris Rock. He's like kind of lanky and goofy, and I don't know. It was a weird casting, but I guess they're trying to get that name, you know, that name recognition. Late 90s, you know, he was a big star. So
no, I totally agree with you. All right, let's get to overall of the film.
Okay, so overall, I thought this was good. I enjoyed watching it. I had a good time. I laughed. I thought this one had good jokes overall. Like, I laughed quite a bit. I liked the addition of Jet Li. He is the best villain in the franchise, in my opinion. I do like older Mel Gibson, where he's starting to look like a raisin. You know, he's like a little more wrinkly. I'm into it. I don't know. There's certain actors who, when they get older, Stallone is one of them. Mel Gibson's one of them. They just have like a lot of character in their oldness, you know? So I liked them in this. Overall, it was good. I had a good time. Not amazing. The story was, it was a little confusing. And the villain was good for the franchise, but not great in my opinion. I gave it a 3.5. Or in my head, I was like a 7. So I gave it a 3.5 overall.
Yeah, look, for me, for this Lethal Weapon 4 movie, I enjoyed it for what it was. I enjoyed the action. I didn't care much for the subplots. I cared more for the main plot. I was more invested in that. I did like that they're older. Wow, this is actually pretty cool. They're aging, and you can see they're aging. The ending was kind of corny when they were like, we're a family, and they all jump and they take a photo.
Oh, yeah.
That was pretty corny. And then they told Leo to get in the photo, which I thought that was cool because they always picked on him. So they never like consider him a family. Other than that, to be honest with you, I think the saving grace for me was the action, especially when they added Jet Li. So with that said, I give him a 4. My overall score is a 4. I think the action is what saved this movie from being like really low overall for me.
Yeah.
And especially the scene they in the dentist's office and they all smoke the laughing gas.
Oh yeah. That was good too.
That was hilarious.
There's a lot of moments. There's like a lot of good moments sprinkled throughout the long runtime of this movie.
Because that's when they told him that he's gonna be the father, right? He was like, baby. He punched him in the mouth. He's like, what you punch me for? That was funny.
You know what? One thing I want to say though is just for my, you know, because I feel like it goes in the overall. And we're going to rank, like Alex said, we're going to be ranking these on Monday live on the show. But so make sure you're there. Levels of Geeks, Monday night, we're going to be ranking them. But I will say, I'm looking at my scores, and besides 3, and even, you know what? 3 was my least favorite. Sorry, spoiler alert. It was my least favorite and my lowest scored. But we've watched movies that I gave lower scores to than 3. Yeah. As a 4-film franchise, it's pretty solid overall. Like, it may not be my favorite like franchise. This is most of these are first time watches for me, but I wouldn't put it in like the upper for me in the upper echelon of like series. But I'd probably put it like in the next tier, like right below. Like it's consistent, it's solid. The movies have good, solid action, great lead, great actors just throughout all the movies. Really good performances, very very entertaining. And I think that's the key. You know, these are entertaining movies that are fun to watch. So, you know, for a first time as watching the whole series, it's a series that overall, I wouldn't say 3 is a dud. It was my least favorite. I don't think there's a dud in the bunch, which is pretty good.
I will ask you this. If it comes out on 4K, would you purchase it? Would you upgrade to the 4K?
Yes. If it comes out in a box set only, yes. Now, if they come out individually, I can really see myself buying 1 and 2 and just... And just having those two. Those are my two favorites. But if it came out as a whole set, I would definitely upgrade to 4K.
Okay. All right. No, I just wanted to know. All right. So then you know what to do, my friend.
Oh, so total. 18. I gave it an 18 out of 25. What was your total?
My total was 21.5.
21.5. Okay. So 21.5, 18 for me. That is that is our Lethal Weapon series review. So next, we are tackling a very divisive franchise, if I'm going to be really honest with you. We're going to be watching a 3-film franchise. You might have heard of it. It made a couple of dollars back in the day. It's called The Matrix. We'll be watching the 3 Matrix films starring John Wick. John Wick and the old guy with the birds from John Wick.
Yeah, the Bowery King.
Yeah, that's right. We got Lawrence Fishburne, Keanu Reeves. Yep. I'm looking forward to this because I've seen the first one a million times, but 2 and 3, I've seen one of those more than the other ones. And there's one of them I haven't seen in a very long time. So that's the next franchise we're going to be tackling. Keep an eye out for that next week. Also next week, we're going to be continuing Jason Statham movies and we're going to be reviewing Death Race. So that should be a lot of fun. I don't know if you've ever seen Death Race. But it should be interesting.
I seen Death Race. Yeah. I never seen the original with Stallone, but I seen Death
Me
Race.
Me neither.
Yeah.
This is the Paul W.S. Anderson version. Death Race. The Stallone one.
Yeah. Look, if you guys enjoyed this video, again, please hit that like button, hit those notification bells. So every time we go live, you guys will be notified. If you're new to the channel, please hit that subscribe button, support the channel. Again, if you want to follow us in our social media platforms, please follow Nate over on Instagram at NateFlixReviews. Check out the podcast with him and his friends called NateFlix Movie Reviews on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, anywhere you listen to your podcasts on. Levels of Geeks, go to www.levelsofgeeks.com. We have all our content there, nicely organized. And then we have our merch. You can support the channel and the show by buying merch. Other than that, everything else is Levels of Geeks across all platforms except TikTok and Facebook. Till then, I'm your host, Alex Figueroa. That is your host, Nate. Be awesome to each other and geek out.